This is Mark Blair from the Defence Science and Technology Organisation at Salisbury, South Australia, also coordinator of the AusRock Projects Group with the intention of building and launching amateur liquid fuel rockets.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Andrew.
You joined us some weeks ago and told us about your first rocket project.
Yeah, that was AusRock 1.
I believe you're into another project now.
Yeah. While I was at Monash University in 1989 for my fourth year of a mechanical engineering course, myself and another mechanical engineering student, along with an electrical engineering student, undertook a project to design and construct a second liquid fuel rocket. This time the propellants were different. We decided to start with liquid oxygen and kerosene as our propellants, and the rocket itself is about 5.6 metres long and 250 millimetres in diameter. And this rocket, we have a target trajectory of reaching 14 kilometres and a maximum speed of 2,500 kilometres per hour.
Can you launch that from here in Melbourne?
No, unfortunately there are no launch sites for this class of vehicle in Melbourne. We launched AusRock 1 from the Pakapunyal Army Base in Seymour, up near Seymour in Victoria, but the size of this base is basically unsuitable for the launch of AusRock 2. For this reason, we've resorted to the Defence Department's range at Woomera in South Australia, the same site where the British launched their first satellite, Prospero, with a Black Arrow back in the 60s, early 70s. The range now is basically just a defence range with very little use. So we've now applied to them and we now have a launch date set for, we hope, sometime around August 1991.
What support do you need there when you go there?
Well, basically we need the range safety officers. We're dealing with a rocket now that's holding 90 kilograms of propellant. Now, the mixture of liquid oxygen and kerosene is basically worth its weight in TNT for an explosive force. So we're dealing with basically 90 tons of TNT equivalent if the two propellants were to mix intimately and ignite. With these two propellants, unlike AusRock 1, where the propellants ignite on contact, these two propellants don't ignite on contact and they require a spark or a flame to actually set the reaction going. Now, the fueling operation will be a lot more complicated with AusRock 2 because liquid oxygen is at minus 190 degrees Celsius. That's very cold and it has to be kept out of contact with skin and everything else. And a lot of materials go hard and get very brittle when in contact with liquid oxygen. So in this regard, a lot of the plumbing and the works inside AusRock 2 have to be specially modified to handle this new propellant.
When it launches, are you going to recover it? Are you going to get any data from this rocket on its way up and presume it's going to come back to Earth, isn't it?
Yes. This one, on AusRock 2, we've got an electronics package. Now, that consists of three accelerometers, which will be able to tell us the acceleration of the rocket. From that, we can get the velocity and also the range. We've also got a CCD video camera which is pointing down the side of the rocket. Now this will give us a live eye view from the rocket as it leaves the launcher. AusRock 2 is unguided, which means that we require a launcher. Now our launcher for this is a 10 metre long T-rail and the rocket slides along this rail for the first 10 metres to gain enough speed to become aerodynamically stable. That way we don't have any troubles of the rocket taking off slowly and tipping over and dropping and blowing up. But also on the rocket we've got pressure sensors giving us an indication of the altitude as well and also of the chamber pressure so we can get engine performance. We've also got a 24-foot parachute, 24-foot diameter, and that will allow the rocket to return to Earth from its apogee at a speed of about 7 metres per second. And we should be able to recover that. Up at Woomera, they have a radar system. Now, we'll be able to track the rocket from that radar system to its final point of impact. Even if the parachute didn't come out, they will know exactly where the rocket comes down.
I believe on your first one, you told us you'd lost the rocket.
Yeah, that's correct. The rocket went up into the cloud layer, and we lost our telemetry signal, which means we couldn't track it with the antenna. And despite two searches of the range, we were never able to find that vehicle.
So even if you lose the telemetry this time, you'll still be able to find it?
Definitely.